log on and watch and want to hear God's word. Fantastic that we have a means to do it this way, and that with Facebook Live and some of the other technologies that are out there, we get to watch maybe not one church service, but multiple. So if this is one of many, I hope you're blessed with what you hear today. And just to kind of get things started, like we did last week, we'll just, I don't have a guitar, don't have a piano, don't have any backup singers, except for my wife, Jan. She's going to help out a little bit. But we'll sing kind of an old favorite. I'm sure you've heard this before. We'll start with the first verse of When We All Get to Heaven. And Jan, you remember how it starts?
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus.
There you go. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Yes, we'll sing and shout the victory. A good old hymn. Hopefully most of you know that. You know, when we all get to heaven, we live here on this earth for what seems like a long time. Maybe it's decades. But in light of eternity, it's not very long. In fact, the Bible says that our life is just but a vapor. And so it's here just for a very brief time, and then we're somewhere else for eternity. Wouldn't you want to be in heaven for eternity? Wouldn't you want to be with God, with Jesus, for all of eternity? That song lets us rejoice in what's to come. So we have God's blessing while we're here on this earth, and we certainly have his blessing for eternity to be with him. And that gives us joy. There's a song, and a lot of times it's considered a kid's song, but I think it's great for us adults to sing now and then again as well. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I've got the love of Jesus. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And here's peace. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart, I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. Well, I don't think anyone would ever accuse me of being a singer, but we can still have joy. We can still make a joyful noise to the Lord with whatever gifts we have. And that song, having joy, having love, having peace, what a wonderful thing that is. And the Lord certainly gives that to us. Well, I want to welcome everyone. I want to welcome those that are part of my two churches that I pastor, the Kennard Friends Church and the Caddis Friends Church. But what I realized as of last week, our little church is much bigger when it comes to the technology we're using today, and maybe in the days to come. And so I want to thank all the folks from other churches that are logging in, hearing God's word. I want to thank those that are just Facebook friends. Maybe you don't go to church anywhere or haven't gone for a long time. Thank you for joining us. And just all the Facebook community. Appreciate everyone that's out there. And I'm thankful for God's provision for this technology for a time such as this. And speaking of technology, there's something new that I want to let you know about that's more permanent, and that is a brand new website. There's a couple young men from the Caddis Friends Church, Jeremy and Jordan Wells, And they have actually created a website for me to use that I can communicate with the folks out there. You can send me prayer requests. You can connect to me by email. You can find the addresses of the churches. But also, it's a place if you miss a sermon from the past, you can go back there and retrieve it and listen to it on audio. And that website is just simply PastorBobLines.com. So again, as we've just started this, and so I've just got a few weeks of sermons recorded and posted out there. So check that out and enjoy connecting with us that way. Those two young men I mentioned, Jeremy and Jordan, something that's unique about them is they've got a grandpa that just turned 75 years old. Billy Wills, I want to thank you again for being part of our church family, and I want you to be blessed being 75 years old just on Friday. Before we get to the message, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you have provided for us and you have protected us in so many ways. Even with all that's going on in the world, even with the chaos that's out there, even right now, even maybe this very minute in our lives, you are continuing to provide and protect. So we thank you for that. But at the same time, we know that folks are hurting. We know that there's people out there who are not feeling well. Maybe they're actually were scheduled for a surgery and it's been postponed and they're still in pain. Lord, would you help ease the pain till they can get that taken care of? There might be others that are sick or on the verge of feeling sick and they don't know whether or not to go to the doctor with all that's going on. And Lord, I'm asking that you help them get well and comfort them. And there's folks facing surgeries that they're afraid of and you can give them peace. There's others that have they've lost a loved one, and we ask that you comfort them in their time of grief. Maybe the loved one is even a pet. I know some have had issues with animals, even in the last week, and how we know God loves animals, created them before he even created us people, and he created those animals for us to enjoy, and folks are grieving over the loss of that loved one. Father, as we look at your word in maybe a different, more unique way than we're used to looking at it this morning. May it open us up to hope. Hope at a time when it feels like we could feel hopeless. Hope in a time that seems so chaotic. So Lord, bless our time today. Encourage us. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title, if I was to give this message a title, it would be Hope in a World of Chaos. Hope in a World of Chaos. And boy, is that fitting today. You know, I remember back in January of 1991, Persian Gulf War had just started, Operation Desert Storm particularly. Jan and I were at a restaurant in Castleton, Max and Irma's, and they had TVs in the restaurant, and then all of a sudden, as we were eating dinner, we see this massive U.S.-led offensive over Iraq. That area of the world was in chaos. But you know, I probably finished my meal, maybe even ordered dessert. Well, I didn't hear the bombs. I didn't feel the heat of the desert or get sand in my eyes. That was almost 7,000 miles away. That part of the world was in chaos, but it really didn't affect me directly. I remember, you remember, September 11th, 2001. At that time, I was working at an insurance company in downtown Indianapolis, American States. There were reports of a plane that had flown into a building in New York City. And then we come to realize, obviously, that it was a jumbo jet and then another jet. Well, we come to realize very quickly it was a terrorist attack. I watched that news on TV in a conference room there in the building. But I finished my workday, and then obviously we were all glued to TVs, to news, for days to come. But you know, I didn't get covered with dust. I didn't hear screams or smell the smoke. That part of the world, that part of our country was in chaos, but it didn't affect me directly. That was some 700 miles away. One last memory, April 1974. It was my senior year of high school, Knightstown High School. It was April. They had held the buses back, held us kids from leaving school because a tornado was approaching from the west. It was headed right towards Knightstown. It seemed as if it was headed right toward the high school. At that, my last class of the day was with Mr. Willard, and his classroom was on the west side of the building. And I remember myself, Mr. Willard, and some others, we stood and opened the door, looked west, and we could actually see that humongous tornado heading toward us. And then all of a sudden, seemingly at the last minute, it took off toward the north, northeast. Well, we come to find out that tornado hit Kennard. It had other places, but it hit Kennard, and that meant something to me. I had friends that lived in Kennard, classmates that lived in Kennard, but I also had a girlfriend that lived in Kennard, Jan Starbuck. And some 42 years later, now we're married. But I remember watching that on the local news, the chaos that was in that little community that was just a few miles away. After things settled down, I remember that my dad and I, we went to Kennard to volunteer one day. You know, at the end of the day, I went home. I went home to electricity, to water, to a house. I didn't have to use candles. I didn't have to hear the National Guard patrolling through the night. I didn't have to use a kerosene heater to stay warm. You know, that was less than 10 miles from my house. And while there was some indirect effect, the chaos in Kennard did not affect me directly. However, today's chaos has affected me and you and all of us, and probably directly. You know, I ask these questions. Could there be hope in a war zone? Could there be hope in New York City? Could there be hope in Kennard? Could there be hope for us today? Well, this whole idea of watching the news, reading the news, listening to the news 24/7, it almost drains our hope. Well, I've got some good news for us. And I want to put it in a different way, maybe a unique way we've not thought about. Because throughout all of history, there have been times where it seems like the world was in such chaos that all hope was gone. What if events in the Bible became headline stories like we see on the TV news? Would people living in those days have thought that the world was in total chaos? I'm sure they would have. Would they have wondered if there would ever be days, better days ahead? Would they have lost hope? Well, what I've done is I have written some pretend news stories, news articles, and they would sound like something we would hear on the TV news or read in our media today on Facebook or however you get your news. Each one of these little news articles is based on an actual recorded event in the Bible. But each article is written as it might have appeared in the local news at the time of the event. So I want you just to imagine yourself. You know, you're thousands of years ago, and you're quote-unquote watching TV and your lazy boy or on the sofa. You're reading the newspaper, whatever it might be, and these events that actually happened that are recorded in the Bible, come on the news or appear in the newspaper, and this is what you're going to hear. Now I want you to try to guess the story as I read these. Some are going to be really obvious, and some are going to be a little bit more subtle. So here we go. First one. The Eden Inquirer reports, after peaceful seasons seem to be lasting forever, the only residents of the Garden District have been permanently evacuated. It's an apparent first-time implementation of the new eminent domain law. Just days after the event, this reporter even noticed a pair of angels with flaming weapons guarding the entrance to Eden. The former resident, only identified by his first name, Adam, said his new homeland outside of Eden has been very difficult. Growing his food has become challenging with a new plant he's calling weeds. As he was sweating nonstop, he reminisced about the good old days with his pregnant wife, Eve. Only a day after our interview, Adam's wife gave birth to her child. She reported excruciating pain during the delivery. Medical doctors are looking into the cause of this new pain in childbirth. Well, obviously, that's one you could probably get very easily. It's all about Adam and Eve, and it was right after the fall. Second news story. Local meteorologists are dumbfounded by recent weather events. A strange phenomenon of water coming from the skies has been devastating communities in our viewing area. Entire towns in the valleys are completely destroyed. The death toll has reached levels never heard of in the history of the world. This sky water, now being referred to as rain, has not stopped for the past 32 days. Thousands are fleeing to nearby mountain resorts. One meteorologist said, quote, if this rain event continues for another week, even those resorts are at risk of being underwater. All other leading experts say this is outrageous, even ridiculous speculation. Hopefully this rain ends soon. The 8-day forecast will be coming up. And I think we know what story that is. It's the story of the Great Flood. Can you imagine the hope lost and the chaos of the world then? All beaches have been closed for the holiday weekend. A Joppa TV station reported a man-eating fish spotted by sailors off the coast this morning. The storm-drenched men are being hospitalized and also evaluated by doctors in the psychological unit of St. Joppa Memorial. These men have been talking nonstop, telling a whopper of a fish story. Blood tests will determine if drugs or alcohol were involved. You know this story too, if you ever went to Bible school, VBS as a kid. Jonah and what we call the whale, or really it's Jonah and the big fish. Certainly a time of chaos in Jonah's life, but even in the lives of those who heard this story, wondering what's happening. Here's another one that's going to come from the Old Testament. Law enforcement officers have been notified about an unusual crowd of protesters assembling just outside of Jericho. At this time, it appears to be a peaceful march, but these people seem to be determined to congregate every day. Currently, it's been 6 days of walking around the perimeter of the city. Jericho government leaders are telling residents they have nothing to fear from the odd-acting, unarmed protesters. How about Joshua and the Battle of Jericho? You know, and the walls came tumbling down. You probably sung that song as a kid. This one's from the New Testament. This one will be a little less obvious. You'd have to read this story in one of the Gospels, but maybe you'll recognize it. Loved ones of the deceased have been terrorized by a man at the Gerasenes Cemetery. This year's Decoration Day is a bust, as families cannot go near graves without facing a homeless, naked, crazy man. Even local law enforcement has had no success trying to arrest and handcuff the suspect. Homeland Security is trying to determine if this guy is a lone wolf or if he's connected to a terrorist organization. This is a developing story, and we will continue to investigate. However, in what may be related, it's been reported that a large herd of pigs have been destroyed. This had an immediate impact on the market, as hog futures have skyrocketed. If you don't recognize that story, it's the time where Jesus healed a demon-possessed man, and he actually was homeless, naked, and crazy, and running around a cemetery. Back to the Old Testament. A Mr. Daniel, who was convicted of treason and subsequently thrown into a lion's den, has mysteriously survived his punishment. Wild animal experts are planning on testing these normally vicious creatures to determine why they did not kill the criminal as planned. However, in a bizarre turn of events, several of the men who had brought charges against Mr. Daniel were thrown into the den, and the previously docile lions reacted normal again, tearing the men to pieces. Names of the deceased are being withheld, pending DNA results to confirm their identities. Certainly you recognize that as Daniel in the lion's den. Another time in what could appear to be chaos in the world. This is back to the New Testament. Here's the news story. In what appears to be a religiously motivated hate crime, a man was stoned to death by a local mob. About 1:32 p.m., a crowd was seen gathering around a man known only as Stephen. Witnesses say he did nothing to start the fight, but within minutes, dozens of men gathered rocks and began pummeling the innocent bystander. Stephen was later identified as a member of the new religious movement called Christ Followers, also known as Christians. The stoning of Stephen. Back to the Old Testament. And here's the news. It was a head-turning, even head-rolling event on the battlefield near Gath. The Israelite army had been at a standstill with the force of the gigantic Philistine army, led by a soldier who stood head and shoulders above even the tallest warrior. A surprising hero emerged as a young shepherd boy went one-on-one with the big guy, who referred to himself only as Mr. G. Mr. G was reported to have repeated the phrase over and over, quote, "I pity the fool who tries to fight me." Yet even with the reluctance of military officials, David used his modest weapon, a slingshot, and buried a small stone in the forehead of his foe. To top off his victory, the boy actually severed the head of his opponent. Israelite soldiers and insiders are already speculating big things are ahead for this unknown hero. David and Goliath, for sure. The region's first murder of the year. Well, actually, the first murder ever just hit the record books. The suspect's name is Abel. He is currently in custody undergoing anger management treatment. What makes this story even more tragic is that the murdered person is his own brother. Counselors are on the scene trying to determine the motive behind this senseless death and to comfort the family and friends. The blood-covered weapon was found near. While it appears to be just a common rock, government authorities are considering a ban on all future rock sales. Cain and Abel. carnage, death, blood. The Jerusalem Post was first on the scene this morning of the gruesome, murderous events that occurred overnight. By the stroke of a pen, King Herod ordered the slaughter of babies and children 2 years of age and under. Horrifying screams and uncontrolled crying were heard overnight as the Roman soldiers carried out the orders of the king. As the streets flowed with blood, the eyes of the families flowed with tears. How could even a corrupt government do something so savage to their most innocent citizens? No one seems to know why this happened, but at press time, as best we can tell, only boys were targeted. I can barely manage to write this report myself, as my 18-month-old son, my only child, was ripped from my wife's arms and murdered right in front of our eyes. We don't know how we will ever get over this. Can you even imagine the chaos that those people at that time must have felt when Herod ordered all the little boys to be murdered, hoping that he would kill Jesus because he thought that Jesus was out to take his position as king. Back to another news article from the Old Testament. The Twin Cities region of Sodom and Gomorrah lay barren today. Intense heat and smoke fill the air. Firefighters still cannot get close enough to the area to search for survivors. But even from a distance, it appears that both cities have been completely annihilated. We have found three eyewitnesses who tell of a harrowing escape. A gentleman by the name of Lot and his two daughters are being interviewed. Unfortunately, he said his wife didn't make it. Doctors seem to believe he is suffering from some mental incompetence from the trauma, since he keeps talking incoherently about fire that came down from the sky and then something about his wife and salt. Sodom and Gomorrah, and when Lot's wife turns back when she was told not to, she turns into a pillar of salt. Well, I could tell dozens and dozens and dozens of stories about times in the Bible where it seemed like the world was in chaos and all hope was lost. But I'll finish with just one more. Total joy turns into total sorrow for one man during this year's Passover celebration. Born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, was an upcoming rabbi named Jesus. During the past few weeks, the crowd following Jesus grew large. Just days ago, as he entered Jerusalem, people were shouting Hosanna and laying palm branches on the road. But his royal road soon became a road that led to arrest, prosecution, conviction, punishment, and ultimately to his execution. Never before has this reporter seen love turn to hate so quickly. Riot police have been out all day Friday, trying to calm down this sea of rage. In an unrelated event, the earthquake today seemed to cause very little destruction. However, some significant damage was reported at the temple to one of their curtains. In conclusion, I assume that's the last we will be reporting on the late Rabbi Jesus. Well, we know that's not the last report on Jesus. And we know that story would have come from the description in the Bible of the week leading up to Christ's crucifixion. What a time of lost hope that must have been. What a time of chaos that must have been. You know, watching today's news may make us feel that God has lost control of the world. But nothing could be further from the truth. And just like story after story in the Bible could have looked like the end, here's the good news. There was always And there is always hope in a world of chaos. So let's pray. Father, as we look back in history and see that time and time and time again, the bottom has dropped out. What seems like all control is gone. What seems like all hope is lost. And yet we realize hope's always been there. You've always been there. And you've always been in control. So I pray now, if there's anyone that is in fear, a little bit or a lot, that you would replace their fear with hope. And that they would look to you and look to the stories of the Bible to feel that comfort and to feel that peace. And I pray all that hear this now and in later would be blessed by you. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you all. We'll see you next Sunday, 10 a.m.